4. The practice on how to be in consonance with the Dharma. The principle underlying the pure essence of being is regarded as the Dharma that renders emptiness in all things, in the sense of their being neither defiled nor discriminating. It says in the sutra, when there is no notion of sentient beings in phenomena, it is because there is departure from the impurities of sentient beings. When there is no notion of I or me in phenomena, it is because there is departure from the impurities of I or me. The wise ones who fully understand and have faith in such a principle would practice in accordance with this Dharma. There is no stinginess in the essence of Dharma, hence there is the practice of giving, be it the donation of one's body, life or possessions, and without reservation. Realization of emptiness in the donor, receiver, and gift, there would be no prejudice whatsoever in the act of giving, which is all done for the purpose of removing defilements and inspiring sentient beings, but without the notion of so doing. Besides benefiting not only the practitioner, but also others, this practice adorns the Bodhi way. This applies not only to the practice of giving, but also the other 5 deliverances or paramitas. Cultivating for realization of the truth by getting rid of delusions through cultivating the 6 paramitas is the practice that is in consonance with the Dharma. The 4th practice is on how to be in consonance with the Dharma. What does the word Dharma refer to? It refers to the underlying principle of the purity of inherent nature. In Buddhism, the word Dharma is sometimes used to refer to the collective of all things, while at other times, as the methods of spiritual cultivation or the Buddha's teaching. Here, Bodhidharma emphasized the Dharma in point as the underlying principle of the purity of our inherent nature. What is this underlying principle? Inherent nature is our intrinsic nature, Buddha nature, the original likeness, true essence of each and every one of us. Our intrinsic nature is originally pure, untainted by ignorance and defilements. Being inherently pure, it is the Dharma body of true suchness and the Dharma of interdependent co-arising. To be able to act in accordance with the law of interdependent co-arising is to be in consonance with the Dharma. Interdependent co-arising, Buddha nature, true suchness, what is our original likeness? Bodhidharma spoke of the underlying principle, all forms are empty, undefiled, and unattached, without notions of this or that. Without anything delusional imposed upon it, the true suchness of Buddha nature is what it intrinsically is in the here and now. It is free from all defilements and unattached to anything. It has no sense of distinction between self and other. It is totally even and of one taste. This is just as described in the Vimalakirti Sutra, which says, having departed from the defilement of the notion of beings, there are no beings in the Dharma. Having departed from the defilement of the notion of self, there is no self in the Dharma. There is no sense of self or other in our original likeness. And this is what is said in the Diamond Sutra, as no ideations of self, other person, beings, and soul. Attachment to I is having the notion of self, and once this notion exists, pursuits to satisfy me constitute the defilements of self. Being attached to the notion of I would lead to distinction between self and not self, which breeds the ideation of other. This would further issue discrimination between one person and other forms of life, hence the ideation of beings. With these notions in mind, one would always place oneself at the forefront, only having regard for one's own interests, even if it is at the expense of the interests of others. With the ideation of beings comes the notion of mankind being the highest order of them all. Consequently, the desire to be conqueror and ruler of the world, wreaking havoc for the environment. In the process of seeking pleasures of the moment for temporary and elusive satisfaction, they oppress other living beings through acts of brutality and violence. To really deserve to be a human being in the right sense, therefore, it is necessary to relinquish the ideations of self and beings, so as not to be defiled by them. Only then could we revive our original likeness and resume our inherent purity. Those with wisdom should be truly convinced of this principle, hence practice in consonance with this Dharma. In their speech, actions, and thoughts, they must comply with the law of interdependent co-arising and be at one with true suchness and Buddha nature. How can this be achieved? Out of the four practices, emphasis of the first three is on banishing evil, while that of the practice on how to be in consonance with the Dharma is to cultivate good. In other words, we can say that the first three are aimed at deconstructing, while the fourth is aimed at establishing. But what are we trying to establish? We need to establish all good deeds, wholesome acts pertained to the six paramitas that encompass all methods of cultivation on the Bodhisattva path of Mahayana Buddhism. Of the six paramitas, the act of giving is the first step. As a major practice on the Bodhisattva path, giving is mentioned in the Diamond Sutra and also the Avatamsaka Sutra of the Mahayana, the latter indicating clearly that the act of giving would have to be practiced to perfection before the initial stage of bodhisattvahood could be accomplished. What is the connection between the practice of giving and the principle underlying the purity of inherent nature? To put it in another way, how should giving be practiced in order to be in consonance with that principle? To be in consonance with Prajna Paramita is to be consonant with that principle. It says in the Mahaprajna Paramita Sutra that all methods of practice must be in consonance with Prajna Paramita, which is great wisdom, for it is only then that ultimate perfect nirvana could be reached. This is in essence what Bodhidharma referred to as the practice on how to be in consonance with the Dharma. The practice of giving is a prerequisite for cultivation on the Bodhisattva path, because the purity of inherent nature is devoid of stinginess and avarice. This is because there is no notion of self or discrimination between self and other in the practice. Benefiting others is to benefit oneself and vice versa. As such, the Dharma body has no reservation in giving, be it the giving of one's body, life, or possessions. Of the three forms of giving, that of the body pertains to offering one's talents, powers, and wisdom. That of life refers to offering a life of service for the propagation of Bodhidharma, to the extent of sacrificing one's life, if necessary, for the benefit of all sentient beings. The giving of riches and material possessions is to serve society through charitable donations or initiatives. A great practitioner who practices giving without any reservation is in consonance with the Dharma of giving. Any act of giving that is consonant with the Dharma would also be marked by the realization of emptiness with respect to the three wheels that constitute an act of giving, namely the donor, the receiver, and the gift itself. As all three arise out of interdependent conditions, attachment to any one of them would mean that the act of giving is still attached to form, thus rendering the act not as meritorious. A great practitioner would see it as a duty to practice giving, and therefore would not act upon it for the sake of gaining merits or attaining Buddhahood. The practice of genuine giving is actually cultivation for the removal of greed, selfishness, and attachment. Awareness of the presence of such defilements in the process of practice would be indication of whether the practice is on good course and being well accomplished. It is only when no trace of such defilement is left in the mind that the practice of this paramita is considered satisfactory. In the process of practicing spontaneous and genuine giving, the practitioner would naturally inspire others without the practitioner being conscious of it. Besides being beneficial for both the practitioner and others, this way of practicing giving is at the same time exemplifying of the Bodhi way. Many who aspire towards Buddhism may think that a Buddhist must first be enlightened or become a Buddha before they can help deliver sentient beings. In fact, without benefiting others, it is quite impossible for one to accomplish Buddhahood. One must, of course, ensure that one is doing what is right for the practice, but there is no need to look upon the benefiting of oneself and the benefiting of others as if they are separate things. This is something for us to ponder on. So much has been said on how to practice giving. The same applies to the practice of the other five paramitas, upholding the precepts, forbearance and practice, diligence and vigor, meditative concentration and wisdom. The aim of practicing the six paramitas is ultimately to dispel the delusional for redeeming the true. Practicing the six paramitas without being attached to what is being practiced is how to practice in consonance with the Dharma.